morning, Gloucester. We get a full house today. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, including myself. And we have a new... Have you ever done a podcast with us, Jason? Jason Groh is with us today.
Welcome.
Welcome, Jason. Namaste. We also have... in my show notes, because for the past 5 podcasts, I think it's been, that I forgot to... I just get right into things because I'm all excited and I don't introduce my guests. I just mentioned to Kim said, remember to introduce the guests. And I says, it's in my show notes as introduced guest this time, asshole. So without further ado, we have Jason Groh, Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Donna Adesoni from Somerville, Massachusetts.
I have my t-shirt on today.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have a very controversial, she's not drunk this morning, Nicole Schraff.
Seriously?
Not drunk. Yeah, as we know, we don't really know what's in the coffee cup. And Mr. Effervescent, Toby Peth.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Yes. Everybody's fired up to be here. I invited Jason here for a very specific reason, but he's going to be a part of our entire discussion. I told him to, you know, feel free to chime in like everybody else does.
I'm a little afraid.
He is doing... a project that every year when Veterans Day comes up and the parades happen, we're all reminded of the service that our country, our servicemen do for us. And I'm always humbled and feel like a complete jerk because I feel like I personally, I don't know how everybody else feels, we can never give these people enough, especially the greatest generation, World War II veterans. I mean, how much loss there was and knowing they were going into like Omaha Beach and the you know, the landing craft, the doors are coming down, and I don't know how much, what percentage of people were just shot immediately, and but they continued onward and forward. And Jason, I want you to explain the project and your, you know, the reasoning behind how it came to you, and also, we really want, if you know any veterans, to please submit them. We'll in the show notes for this podcast, we'll give Jason's contact information to get a hold of him so they can be part of this project as well. Take it away.
Thank you, and thanks for having me for this. It was really just one of those days where I was looking at my computer, I was looking at my calendar, I was looking at the news, and I realized that this year is the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, which means that anybody who fought in World War II and served for our country, men and women, are now approaching 88, 90, 96 years old. And we're losing them at a tremendous rate. You know, they served their country. I can't imagine what our country would be like, what the world would be like if they had not prevailed. Mm-hmm. And they are the greatest generation. We spent a lot of time lauding them 20 years ago and all when the 50th anniversary came up. But it just occurred to me that Gloucester and Cape Ann sent thousands of men and women into service, and we're down literally to maybe scores, maybe 20, 40 people who are still alive, who remember those times, and I wanted to remember them, and being a photographer, my way of remembering people is to photograph them. This is a brand new project, so I'm very, very much in the early stages, but my goal is to photograph every living vet in Cape Ann over the next few months and put together a show that we have on display somewhere at City Hall or somewhere in the city that just remembers who they are. Mm-hmm. And they are today. I mean, they've still got stories, they've still got memories, they've still got connections to this community. And we don't have a whole lot of time to get that down. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Adam Kukru at the Veterans Services Office, and he would like to put together an oral history project, and I think we're going to try to put that together in the next couple months as well, and get some of these stories down because they're going away, yeah. And we need to get them, and remember them and honor them.
I can't imagine a more worthy project. It's something that I think a lot of people in our generation take for granted. Mm-hmm. I know, I don't think about it enough until those days, yep. You know what I mean, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, then you get reminded, and sometimes you're just busy with life and you don't even, you know, actually go to the parade or anything, and I'll be the first to admit, but this is the kind of thing that will bring it to people, the forefront of people's attention. And I really even think the oral history, in combined with this, what a show! What a powerful show!
We want to videotape and record these people. And you know, the thing about the World War II veterans, I mean, we've come through a period of time when the World War II veterans came home. You know, they served, they came home, and they didn't talk about their experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the same, I think, a lot with the Korean veterans. And then we had Vietnam, and Vietnam was its whole other kind of mess and emotional, sociological thing going on here. Then we get into the modern day, and people are beginning to recognize that people come home changed, they're different. Mm-hmm. But I think now the World War II veterans that are around are beginning to, I think partly because of their age, partly because there's not much time left to tell their stories, are beginning to open up now and talk about those experiences. Yeah. And they're really, I mean, I've just photographed four gentlemen so far, and just in the short period of time that I have with them, they're telling me things that are just tremendous.
This is still photography that you've been doing?
I'm doing still photography, yeah.
Okay. So no, we posted it on the blog. Yes.
Not old-fashioned. Video.
Not yet, but right. I'd like to, we're going to, you know, again, this is about 2 weeks old, this project, and I just started it.
Well,
so
the faces of them now, and they were 17, 18 years old when they went there, crying for their mothers as they were dying on the beaches in France, just, because I read something on, just, you know,
and now that, you know, and they came home, and they got married, they went back to school, they got jobs, they just started their lives again. Mm-hmm. And
people didn't talk about it.
Sometimes the wives didn't know what had happened, you know. Mm-hmm. And now they're now, you know, they're in their 90s. I mean, I photographed two gentlemen in Rockport, and couldn't be farther apart in their family histories and how their lives went following that. But now they're very good friends. Yeah. They hang out. They're one's 96, one 92, you know, and they have this thing that they share.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's pretty big time pretty amazing.
So I think the main thing for what we can do is to try to facilitate anyone that listens to this or hears about this. We'll put the contact information in the in the show notes for this podcast. Find them. And it'll link you to Jason. Email address or something. We'll put a website, whatever you want. And what are you looking for information?
I need to know. Well, first off, I want them to be in Cape Ann somewhere. I mean, a lot of people in Florida. Hopefully, they'll come back and we'll do it. I want people to know this is nothing. I'm not charging people for this. This is a personal project. This is my way of saying, in a small way, thank you for what you've done. I will provide a print for the family or the subject of whoever I photograph. And the ultimate goal when this is done is to put together a show to celebrate them. And that's basically it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just a labor of love, frankly. Yep. And it's something that I want to do. And you know, I want who they are, where they served, how to get in touch with them. I want to make sure that if folks are, you know, that they don't communicate via email or whatever, somebody, one of the family member calls them and lets them know that I'm gonna be calling, because I don't want people to feel strange about some stranger calling up and saying they want to come to their house and photograph them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But so far I've had great response from people. People have been very generous, and you know, it's my goal to honor their contributions, to memorialize them in a way that hopefully continues on and their story continues on. So anybody can just get in touch with me, let me know, and I'll come to their house. It takes about an hour and a half max. And
what do they got going on? They have plenty of time.
But
there was a lot of, you know, when I was a little girl, I remember someone who was in World War II and used to sit by the window all the time because he had post-traumatic, but they didn't call it then. They called it shell shock.
Yeah.
And, you know, he couldn't get out of that. He was in Hiroshima and all that, so you know, he had really issues. Well,
it's all hell. But yeah, we're gonna put contact information for you, and thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
All right.
What a tremendous project.
Yeah. Well, it's
can't think of anything better right now.
Thank you.
We'll get some of the we'll talk about this next. The winner of last week's podcast subscriber contest, which is one of the first 10 people that subscribed to the podcast, his name is Paul Foster. Paul Foster wins a business listing, or if he doesn't have a business, He could submit any kind of story he wants to Good Morning Gloucester. I'll post it for him. And it's submitted by the user. So, Paul, get in contact with me, goodmorninggloucester@yahoo.com. We'll make that happen. Donna, you have your group, one of your many groups.
One Hour at a Time gang and Clean Gloucester. Actually, we were in the Gloucester Daily Times magazine about how we pick up on Saturdays. We're going to have our first time March 28th. We meet at St. Peter Square. And what we're going to try to do is Main Street, God help us, because that's probably the most clear to start because of the snow. We provide the bags, you just bring your gloves, and we just do it for an hour.
What time did you say?
8 a.m. Now, if some people want to come at 8:30 because some people think 8's a little early, come at 8:30, I leave the bags on my car.
On your car.
On my car.
In Somerville. Is it in Somerville or is it Gloucester?
Gloucester. So, and what we do, Amy Kerr and I, Melissa Cox is very involved, and Bobby Gillis from KPN Savings Bank, so it's a whole bunch of people from different
walks of life. Well, that's where you and Ed Collard met, too, right?
We have many stories, but what we do is just take our bags, walk up Main Street or wherever we're going, we'll State Pier, whatever, and it's catchy, which I like. People then
see that and they want to do it.
They come out and they help us. We've got a lot more people from Main Street that are actually going to come and help us.
Nice. Oh, yes. Well, so, this past week on the Gloucester Clam, James Dowden, KT Toomey, and Brooke Welty, their website, they actually posted a photo of like the snow melt and like what's the residue that's left behind. Mm-hmm. Oh. It's like a pair of gloves and
parts of vehicles.
There's a ton of stuff.
Trash and bags, so, because people put their trash out and then it snows.
So with the tremendous snow melt, you guys got a task ahead of you.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but it's actually, I hate to say this, but we have fun.
I imagine, yeah.
There's a lot of smiling. Maybe that's the problem. We're all laughing and we have a good time. And there's probably a dozen, maybe more.
We're all crazy people.
Yeah, we're all crazy because we love trash. We love picking it up.
It's your way, one of your many ways that you give back to your community.
Well, we have to.
She won, Donna. Do you know, I'm gonna make her not embarrassed because she's not embarrassable, but didn't you win one of the UU awards for this past, you were one
year,
of the people.
Yeah, for the 1 hour at a time gang.
Yeah, the community contributor award or something.
I felt like, it's not just me though, we just decided to do it
for the group. Yeah.
And this isn't even court ordered community service.
No, that's no.
Her orange jumpsuit. She leaves the orange jumpsuit at home.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's not she puts it on Sunday is for that.
Yeah.
She puts it on Saturday.
That's a different group. That's a different group.
You're not on the side of the highways. That's not you.
No. Oh no, we don't go on the highways. God, we'd be clipped. But my husband says one day I'm going to get hit by a car by picking up a cigarette butt because they make me crazy.
Well, you're tiny too, so like you know, it's like the little kids that dot out between the cars, they won't see you because
have to wear one of those.
You're like bumper height.
Maybe she should be wearing.
You should get one of those. Remember the Huffy bikes when we were kids and they had the tall orange flags.
Well, my
you should stick one in your ass and then when you wherever you go.
Either that or a safety vest.
I do have a safety vest, but even if I'm behind the snowbank.
That's why she needs the tall Huffy flag. You stick it in her gulu, and I stick up in the air so that when she dots out from behind
that's
the car.
That's what Rick says when I'm in BJ's. He can't find me. He wants to have one of those flags. But it's really
I need someone to Photoshop that for me. Can you do that? Can you Photoshop one of those Huffy flags coming out of her ass?
Yeah. But it's really important to get out there. It's exercise.
You color, get a little sun, the vitamins.
It's social.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do have people say thank you.
Yeah. There you go.
And, you know, it has nothing to do with the city. It has nothing to do with politics. It's just...
You guys do such an awesome
job. We try.
So beautiful. After you landed in an area, I mean...
We try.
Afterwards...
For at least an hour or two before people mess
well,
it up
again. You know, it's not always just the people. No. It's also nature.
It's the negative.
Yeah. Come on.
Mr. Effervescent over here. The two people go and throw their cigarette butts down.
You switched our names.
So, come out on Saturday. I have a Facebook page, 1 hour at a time gang.
Facetious.
And we also have a Clean Gloucester Facebook page. And we put in where we're going
to
be.
I'm still willing to make you breakfast if you do my kids' rooms.
Sorry, again.
Kim, you this past week you were busy with your St. Yeah. Joseph film project.
Yeah, this is the final batch of.
She's very sick too. That's not her normal voice. She's not the Julia Child voice is not with us.
It's my Mr. Grumpy Pants voice.
Mr. Grumpy Pants.
My Grumpy Pants voice. Yeah. No, it was beautiful, this last batch of filming. And
you spent a lot of time at the Gropos?
At the Gropos, and I just want to say...
Over at Mandela Square?
What is it?
Go ahead.
Okay. What's so special about filming there is they start their St. Joseph feast early in the day at 11:30. So, and I think they feed the entire city. Because
it's huge.
Yeah. Like at around 11:30, office workers, dock workers, just bank workers, politicians—they start coming in.
They have a beautiful family, and they do it. I was there for a couple of years ago for theirs. Every one of these families, they're cooking and the mm-hmm. ritual of it and.
Yeah,
just to keep up these traditions, because for so many families had let the tradition pass.
The amount of work that goes into it,
it's just a labor of love.
It's a labor of love.
And,
but then what I wanted to say was then all the lunch workers leave, and then at 3:00, all the school teachers start coming in with their families, and so then they eat. Then there's like a rosary at 5:00, and then. Everybody else who's been working all day long starts pouring in.
Yeah,
so it's this 12-hour serving mm-hmm. people food. It's just like this beautiful thing.
I hear you. I believe you.
I just love Nina and her family and friends. Just,
yeah, and the Brancaleone family and the Scola family and the Fontana family. The Ferrante family, the Russo family. I always forget, props to all of these men and women that keep up this tradition.
And what's really fun about it, I've noticed, is the little kids. We're not losing that because little kids are involved.
They're so hands-on, the little kids.
The little kids, some of them are really, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
like, I feel like on the blog, like, you know, I know Felicia goes bananas posting it, and I'm happy she does and can post her stuff on it too. Because it's a record, and I know there's some people that are like, okay, enough of this, but it's probably a small portion of the people, but they need to bear with us during our traditions. Like, you know, the fiesta, like we're on overdrive, hyperkill fiesta, but we're like these faces, like, you know, like Jason, but Jason's a much more important, you know, thing that he's doing, but like. We're documenting slices of time and for future generations and stuff like that, and the passion that these women, all of them, put into it. Bear with us.
Joey, if you don't do it, it will go away.
Yes.
Right. I mean, my memories. Right. I have fleeting memories of my childhood. Yeah. You know, like little snippets. But when I see photos, like you see one photo from when you're. You know, 9 years old, or 7 years old, or 6 years old, a flood of emotions, you know, you get a flood of emotions come back. So, like, the 1,000 or 1,500 or 2,000 pictures and videos that we post, can you imagine 15 years from now? You know, so bear with us, is all I can say.
And another thing that's happened, I think, through this is, and this is good, is I went to Bed Bath & Beyond to buy a new pasta maker. They were out. And then I found one, but because people are getting back to that type of eating and traditions, and you know,
all the recipes are out there.
Yeah, and I found that really great because
I'm psyched for the local bakers in town get made into superstars during that period of time. Yeah. Virgilio's and Scafani's and Cafe Sicilia. Yeah.
Maria Cracciola does the most exquisite things.
I saw the picture of that cake she made.
Did you see the vine?
Yeah,
yeah.
It was beautiful.
Well, that was so spontaneous because I just went to go pick up something came back to Nina's, and she said, oh, can you go out and get this cake? Went back there, and Maria hadn't decorated it yet. So I said, can I film you while you're decorating it? So
they're all, really, you know, awesome. They awesome. All, every one of the bakeries, all the major bakeries in town, they all kind of contributed to helping and making it, a special time of the year for everyone. So there's that.
Truly.
We're going to talk about youth sports. I'm looking at you.
I got a little bit of sports.
I'm looking at you over there.
I was actually just looking up I was trying to find the time, and I'll post it again. But our hockey season is over, except that right now there's a lot of tryouts going on for different levels of Cape Ann youth hockey for girls and boys and co-ed teams. But
for spring season?
Tryouts are now.
For next season.
Yeah. Oh, for next season.
Which, depending on your age, starts September, October, November-ish. But the event that would concern my family, the age that they're at, is this Thursday. And I want to say it's at 6. I just couldn't find it fast enough because you got to me too quickly. But it's just called Might Madness, and it's really great.
What's it called?
Might Madness.
Might Madness.
For so anyone who is in the Might age level, which would be 7 and 8-year-olds for the most part right now, maybe 6.5, they can come to the rink on Thursday night, and they're not official tryouts, but just see the existing Might teams and how they skate and what level they're at and have a good time with them. And that's for anyone who's interested in skating, can come out and try that. Or if they've at a younger level, if they did cross ice or whatever, come out and skate with these kids. So
what is the
opportunity?
Do you think I'm qualified?
You got the right height.
You come
for
on
it.
Down.
I used to play.
I know you did. I love that play.
Our little sprite, Might Sprite, it's all the same. So tell me, what is the, it's free to come out and do this or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
They want to get people involved. They want to get families involved.
Yeah, this is just the level, the Might, I just can't keep all the level, Pee-wees, Bantams, Might, Squirt, they all sound little.
Yeah.
I don't know the levels by heart, but I do know that Might is the first.
Explain to me.
Are you talking about Donna again?
All the different adjectives we use for Donna as well, yeah. Can you explain to me what level, or like what you're, as a hockey mom, what was the level of what, like what, because I know like hockey people, they always talk about like the psychotic times you have to go to get ice time.
Yeah.
Like what was, for your age group, what time was your practices and how many practices and games did you have a week?
Finn will be 6 in June, so he's not eligible for a travel team yet, so he just does what's called cross ice, so he's at the rink at 7:45 on Saturday morning for an hour, and then on Sunday afternoon at 1 for, they have skills and drills on Saturday, and then like a mini game on Sunday that they all consider games. But they cut the rank in thirds, and they put two colors.
Oh, I see, going that way, going there, yeah.
So they're little cross-ice games. Thatcher was on his first travel team. He was a Might. He'll be 8 in May, so he was one of the younger. The teams this year were 7 and 8-year-olds, so the 8-year-old.
So how many times? What time do you get up?
He had he had 3 nighttime practices during the week, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock on school nights, and then he would have 1 game on the weekend, and they were all over the place. They varied. They were a lot the first half of the year in Saugus at Kasabuski, and then they traveled.
Full time job.
Mm-hmm.
Both parents working, and. Yeah. 2 kids playing hockey with different schedules.
Yeah. It's a nightmare sometimes.
So we had 7 hockeys a week, I think.
Yikes.
7, we call them hockey. So
but we want to give props to your son's team because they won the championship, right?
Yeah, I still get chills. I know it's really, I wrote that long post about it, but
what was the post about
it? The first post, Joey, was just about the winning and just how cool it was. Oh my God, these kids like. They started the season. I'm boring people to tears right now, but they started the season with like 3 losses in a row, and then it just clicked, and they won from November 16th all the way until last weekend. They
That's
won
so
every
awesome.
Because they tied 1 or 2 along the way, but they just came together and they started to skate like these little acrobats out there, and the passing and the scoring and the plays.
Are any of these kids have contracts to to signing bonuses for college? They're getting scouted already. This level of play.
We did some other tryouts this week just to see what would happen out of town, and you get teary when you get the acceptance letter. It's not a team that we're going to do, and it was kind of a hard decision. But Thatcher got accepted to a very elite team outside of Cape Ann.
Nice.
And again, we want to stick with Cape Ann, and we love our coaches. Mm-hmm. Those coaches put in a ton of time, and they're not paid, and they. they work really hard and they do what they think is right, and they sadly, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but they get a lot of flack. You can't keep everybody happy like a teacher. You can't keep everybody happy all the time. And
a little bit
of the season, I think, was the end of a very fantastic, exciting season. Was blemished a little bit with you know, some controversy, and that's all I want to say.
You know, here's the thing about that. The point, I guess, I want to go to is, as a guy that will never be a coach of any kind of kids' athletic program.
By choice.
Because I want to enjoy the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I can't give enough thanks to the coaches that do donate their time for this.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be parents that, like, either think that their kid's a superstar or just whatever. In my opinion is, unless the coach is putting my child in harm's way, like, they're the coach, and I'm just the parent that's supposed to, like, root for the team. And
and coaches will love you for that.
Yeah. Well, I tell my daughters every after practice and after every game, make sure you go do coach, but you don't just walk off the field. You go and say thank you to your coach every time.
And if it doesn't become fun, I didn't want him to play.
But you don't want to be quitters either, though.
No, you don't want to be quitters. But when I was in Burlington, there was a soccer coach that we had to flag him because the kids were fainting because he wouldn't let them have water. And it was like...
They would let them have water? At what age? Like, were they mites?
Six. It was soccer. And
if you don't toughen them up by six,
and we were like, wait a minute. You got to be tough. But
water?
You know.
I didn't get water when I was a kid.
And I want
they
the
didn't
kids
have
to
water.
Have fun.
We were kids. They used to make us drink Drano.
Drano and those
toughen
things.
Us up.
But I mean, you want the kids to have a good time. You want them to play fair, and you want them to understand some win, some lose.
Well, that's what the season was, and I think I don't have any experience with Pee Wee football or anything else.
Oh, Jesus!
I can't speak to any of that, but I'm sure there's just as much thanks that goes out to those people. Mm-hmm. But I do want my plug for Cape Ann Youth Hockey is, if you counted the number of volunteers and coaches and whomever else is involved, I mean, there's got to be, you know, close to 100 people. You go to those little Learn to Skate with the ones how Thatcher and Finn started with the milk crates.
Yep.
There are like 12, 13 grown-ups on the ice out there, you know, helping these kids. I remember Finn would just cry and the snot coming out of his nose and, you know.
The first time this hit,
you know, and
I remember.
It happens for like 3 weeks, but there's so many volunteers out there. And again, you ask me how much time I spend at the hockey rink. Well, yeah, I do that because of the kids, but then there's these coaches who spend all that time. Mm-hmm. They don't get paid. And plus the time outside of, you know, being at the rink, managing and emails and phone calls and whatever else they have to deal with. So
I remember as their age, first time on skates, begging on the boards. My ankles are so weak. The skates are like this, and the pain. I have the worst memory of all times. I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I remember my uniform, my royal blue with the yellow number 6 O'Malley, and begging my mom, and they made me stick with it. And thankfully, I stuck with it.
You have to learn.
But OMG, I think it's cruel and unusual punishment back then because they had the skates that were like the CCM tacks that supported your ankle. But my dad didn't get me those ones. He got me the ones with the regular leather that
with
just like
pick?
That you have zero like support in your ankle, and there was nothing there. And to begin with, you know, I say this all the time. I was emaciated as a child, not because my mother wasn't a great cooker and I didn't eat. It's just my metabolism was that I was the really awkward, scrawny guy, still am, but a terrible athlete. So you can imagine the tears and like begging, but they made me stay.
Well, we weren't taught with milk crates.
Yeah,
I don't. You know, my mother was actually a very good skater. My mother skated beautifully.
Well, you had that low center of gravity in your family.
But when my skates were on, I was a good 5'4". But we didn't learn with milk crates, so I think what you're saying, we had to go kind of. I remember my kids walking around the rink, learning how. So the milk crate thing is a new. Well, for me, it's new.
I didn't learn with the milk crate.
How much does it cost for a pair of hockey skates for a kid nowadays? For your kid,
you
your age.
Get them anywhere. I, you can get them any price. I mean, I think when they were itty bitty, the skates were like $40. Thatcher's pair right now is like
$130. How much are the sticks now? I heard the sticks are like outrageous, like $40, $50.
Yeah, I haven't bought a stick. I know they both got new sticks for Christmas. I can't even guess. I know. I think the same thing. You can get a stick for probably $30. You can get a stick for like $300.
I think you can spend whatever you want on a stick.
Yeah right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they outlaw like fiberglass sticks, so you can use those, or you have to just use wood? Or Toby, you probably know this, no?
I don't know what the rules are now, but we used to play with wooden sticks back in the day when Bip and I played hockey together.
Bip. So.
I don't know.
You don't know.
What kind
of hockey mom are you?
I know. Right? I don't pick out. I marry Freddie. You know, I don't have to pick out gear.
That's right.
Smell, though, I'm sure, because how long does he last in the one pair?
We hand everything down to Finn, so we get lucky in that regard.
And actually, it's cruel and unusual punishment not to have your kids skating in the CCM tag.
We had, you know, sizes lined up from other friends who have played hockey.
Yeah, we used to do swaps.
Hockey's a big sharing sport.
Yeah, skiing too. We'd do the ski swap.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, you probably know this because you're that age. Your kids in Gloucester schools at that age. Do they have bike swaps or ski swaps in Gloucester? Like, I know Hamilton, they have.
I have never heard of one.
They ought to do it because I know in Hamilton it's a hugely popular
thing. I thought the hockey thing had a swap.
They do things at the rink like an exchange.
Yeah.
It's not quite, I know what you're speaking of in Hamilton. No, they do two a year. They
do two a year, and they're hugely popular. I think the school gets $5 for every transaction or something like that.
As much athletics as we have here, that'd be fantastic. Right. Because
there's probably a lot of gear that's sitting in basements or in garages.
Bikes.
Unused.
Alone, you know.
Bikes.
Outgrown skates. Everything. I've got a garage full of crap that
I might organize one.
That's
we could do it down here at the dock.
Right,
we have plenty of space here this time of year.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything.
And especially skis, they grow out of those skis and boots every year.
They could do it at the school, though. It would probably be a better place. The parents would feel more.
Parking lot of O'Malley have a huge spot.
Well, a lot of these ski shops will
get on that.
The equipment back in.
Who do we know? Who do we have in the schools?
I don't know anybody in the schools.
You know,
Jason, bro. You know, I hate to volunteer people.
You know,
like people. Okay, so we're talking about this, and Jason's like, I don't know anyone in the schools. Obviously, he's Mr. Involved in the schools, but I don't want to put him on the spot because my Twitter account. Okay, here's a story that happened to me on my Twitter account. Right, so this person, I won't out who they are because they'll get very upset with me, but they constantly ask me questions, and it's they're leading questions like, does Gloucester have a community organized yard sale? And I'm like, I don't really know. I'm not sure. And then the next Twitter message to me is, we really ought to organize one.
We
right?
Yeah.
And so my response to that one is, great idea. Have at it.
Yeah,
give me the flyer for it, and I'd be happy to post it for you. Then the next thing is, the next question is, what city organization makes the rules on those things? And I'm like, and I wrote back, great question, ? The person goes back to me and says, and the person says, great answer, not. And I reply, I'm sorry I didn't have the answer for you. You know,
Ricky Gloucester.
right? I like totally like, okay, Joey, you like, in other words, I failed, yes. I was supposed to contact the person, their idea. I was supposed to contact the authorities. Organize
do all the work,
post it, do that. It is a good idea. I don't know, but to me, it's like a yard sale. Yeah, there's freaking yard sales. Who doesn't have it? I mean, what do you not understand about the process of having a yard sale? What do I need? What do you where or what disconnect or do you really not? Or call City Hall, the main number, and ask. Oh, what department?
What would
who
you
am do? I? The clearinghouse?
What would Joey do?
What's an odd question.
But here you are trying to play one now, but well, sports related.
No, swap. Totally.
Well, that's a swap.
Swap. And like for the school, or because the school could benefit from it. Because in Hamilton, I believe, and I'm not, don't, this isn't set in stone because I'm not involved in it, but I participated in it. They I think they get like a cut. They might get $5 per transaction or something like that. And it's just, you're not carrying any.
I mean,
and the kids, they bring their stuff and they leave. And the parents organize it.
Let me know when you have it organized.
Yeah. Who would I call, Jason?
Good question. Excellent question.
They don't wear them out in 1 year. They're not going to wear out ski boots in 1 year. Yeah.
Well, they do it. They do it. So the Hamilton one, they do it a couple times a year. They do one for the skis, and it's ski and snow equipment or something like that. And then the other one is bikes.
Yeah.
I think they have a toy one.
Ones at Winthrop and ones at Cutler, right? They do it. I think they do one.
Not a Bucher Puker.
Yeah, I don't know. I would then.
Yeah. Caitlin makes fun of them all the time. Mm-hmm. Bucher Pukers. What am I saying? Craziness. Anyway, anybody have any recent dining experiences?
Wow.
Nothing.
Now, I went to Passports twice in 1 week.
Oh. Did you go for the wine dinner?
No, I went for lunch with my sister one day, and I don't remember who I went with.
What did you get when you went there?
Well, you know, I'm just an exciting woman. I get the veggie roll-up.
You get that every time.
They already know it.
You get that every time.
I love that because I take half of it home.
That's what it is. It's all about the money.
And you get a salad and a cloth napkin.
But that... Toby's chomping at the bit right now.
Oh, my God. Erica and Joe.
Where else can you go and get a bowl of soup with a cloth napkin at $6?
Absolutely.
And you can get a water. And they'll love you for that.
And
they love it for that.
I went with my daughter and her boyfriend, and Rick and I went last Saturday.
It is a special place. But I'm surprised you don't go off of that because there's so many other eclectic meals there that are all equally
as good. Well, I like the quinoa salad thing, too, when they have it in
there. He does a lot of stuff with quinoa.
I've had that. But sometimes I just crave that roll-up. Yeah. I crave it.
I don't do quinoa.
No quinoa? Why?
I've never liked
quinoa. Makes you regular.
Maybe I should try it then.
There's a lot of protein. A lot of protein in quinoa.
Yeah, I know. I know. People love it.
I love it. It's awesome. You can have it hot or cold.
I don't understand how it's pronounced.
Quinoa.
I know, but
it's for that reason.
Quinoa, it's not related
to
quinoa. I always thought it was quinoa for the longest time.
Quinoa. Yes. It's too confusing.
Exit off. Can't have it.
There's a reason not to have it.
That's right.
So tell me, any recent dining experiences in town? You want to give a shout out to anybody?
I would move into Tacos Lupita if they would let me. I want just a small little room in the back there. I will cut vegetables. I'll do whatever they need.
A gem awesome. To have in this city, and we're putting our plea out once again for our Indian restaurant to come.
Yes.
Please, any update on that?
There's nothing. We had what's his name? David Calvo went and spoke to the people at
Anmol
in Beverly, which is an awesome Indian restaurant.
It is one of the few things I pray for.
Right?
Yes.
It is. As an atheist, this is one of the few things that you pray for.
I may be converted. A small little notch there for that. Yeah. Just
where's your go-to breakfast place in town?
My house.
You don't go for breakfast? If you had to take the family.
George's.
Yeah, there you go.
No, we got a George's.
We went to Mile Marker the other day. It was excellent.
Yeah, you wrote about that.
I did.
We talked about the steak tips.
Yes, we did.
Tremendous.
And the view there is just, you know.
Yeah.
Does it get any better?
Yeah. I would like to give an apology to the Mile Marker. Can I do that real quick?
Yeah.
Because I talk about them often. We're going to go to the pool today as soon as I'm done.
Oh, you are pre-apologizing for your
No, not at all.
When you're stumbling into the pool.
I do sport. I swear you're going to have to stop doing that. We go there often and we love it. We eat there while the kids are in the pool and whatnot. But we went last week and...
Was that you in the police notes?
She's a teacher.
She's a teacher. He does this on purpose because he knows my head of school. Hi again, Paul. Listens to these. Good Lord. Anyway, the boys had the stomach bug last week, and for like Thatcher had it on Friday, and then he didn't have it. Then he got it again on Sunday night, and then Finn got it on Monday night, and then he didn't have it, and then. It was all over with, and it was that one, 60-degree day we had, and we bought the pool pass for 3 months. We hadn't used it since February vacation. So I got home from work, and I was like, let's go jump in the pool, and, you know, we're all done, put the windows down. They wore their suits with, no sweatpants because it was so warm out. And we got to the parking lot at Cape Ann Marina, and Finn says, I don't feel so great. And I'm like, yes, you do. Enough of this.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yes, you do. We're all going to school tomorrow. I don't care what you say. And so I open the door, and Joe... walks in just in time to see Finn projectile vomiting all over the lobby. So literally, I had the bag, so I put the towel down, and he keeps on going on the towel, and right at the end of the hallway, diners are eating.
Nice!
That's tough love right there. Going to the pool, projectile vomiting or not!
I didn't believe him.
Put your foot down.
While he's throwing up on his, pottery barn towel,
Tough love.
And Joe's, trying to get it to clean. I'm like, Joe, don't touch it. It's mine. You have two kids at home. I will clean it up. And then Thatcher, being Thatcher, is stomping his foot saying, does this mean I can't swim? You're kidding me right now. He's you said you were going to go to the pool. Your brother is vomiting all over the lobby. Why can't I go swim?
Really?
It was unattended. A great parenting moment where I was you stop talking and you stop throwing up in the lobby.
So awesome. Once he was done throwing up, he was pretty okay.
And then we went right to the pool. Then we went right home. And that was the end of the stomach bug in our house. But Joe.
What a beautiful picture.
Props once again to Joe.
Beautiful picture.
And they cleaned it tremendously, so don't be worried about Joe. I cleaned 90% of it, but Joe was right on it. I felt so
lots
bad.
Of bleach.
Can I ask you a question? This has not related to your children at all, but as a teacher, and not related to your drinking, because we joke about that. No, I'm just saying right now that we joke about this. Yeah. You're not a drinker. This is just total inside joke. What I want to ask you about, because I just recently started hearing about it again, is lice a thing again?
A thing meaning that I've never had it in my house, but it happens every fall in most schools that I can think of. When I was on maternity leave with Finn, we were in Florida, and my poor assistant teacher was texting me saying more kids had, it was like a crazy outbreak. Yeah. That was 6 years ago. Now, every spring and every fall, we have a few cases.
A couple kids.
Yeah, it's never rampant like it was that year. But yeah, it's every spring and every fall.
I do the lice spray on my girl's hair when I have them before I send them to school.
That's a great idea, that fairy tale or something.
It's like a green ball. It smells like
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you use, but
it smells.
Do they have one?
Fairy tale is a great brand.
And it doesn't smell nasty?
No.
Oh, I'm going to get that then. Fairy tale.
That DDT is pretty nice, too.
DDT.
Yeah, and then there's that.
I remember with a steel comb.
Yeah. Yeah, we never knock on wood.
You don't want to do that. But now they have this whole cottage industries coming up with, tape off your house. It's $10,000 or something. Hey, you want the lights in your house? Don't have us come in. It's what are you going to do? Come in!
It's like E.T., when they had the whole house,
with
the gloves.
It's not rampant. This is just isolated outbursts and stuff.
We usually have a couple. And it's my biggest fear in our little tiny house is to have to deal with it because of the cleaning and the
putting
my boys for whatever reasons have 90 stuffed animals. They all know whales and dolphins on their bed, and it would really be a nightmare.
You know what you do with those? You just put those.
Put them in a trash bag
for a month in a dark place.
Yeah. What the trash bags?
Yeah, you put things in a trash bag.
If you get lice in your house. Everything's got to get disinfected. Yeah. You can't just. You think that's going to take care of it?
You cut off the air supply, and they die, and then they're good to go.
You put everything like that.
I can tell you. Those things are getting lit on fire.
You're making me itchy.
I know. All of a sudden,
you can't boil that stuff. So you have to. That's why you put it in the stuff. You can't boil.
They go put in the fireplace, and you burn them. See you later.
Your child's favorite stuffed animal. No, you can't do that.
That's tough love.
Yeah, you can.
Lice, you can do whatever it takes. No, but at what age? My kids, stuffed animals. When do we get to get rid of these stuffed animals?
No, never.
Yeah, I know. I had a ton when I was little. Freddie hates it. He doesn't understand why my boys are so. They love them. They haven't bought a new one in a long time, but they're very.
My older children still have their Felix
from Filene's. Filene's.
You spend $50, you got a free Felix. It was a little. It was a bear. And they still have their Felixes. It
explains a lot about your family.
Am I the only one scratching right now, by the way? I feel
I am too now. Ugh. And Patigo was another one.
Guys like us, we don't get lice.
I'm getting there. I'm close.
My sister-in-law shaved her kid's hair right off. It was I've had enough of this lice.
Hey, speaking of hair, girls' hair, did one of your daughters grow their hair long and donate it to...
Both of them did.
Both of them did,
the
right?
Twins. Not Matilda, but the twins did. Both
the twins did.
Twice. I think that's a great idea.
Isn't that awesome?
The student is doing it right now as we speak.
How old are they?
They're 13 now, 13. So Maisie just cut all her hair off again, and a couple months ago and did it again.
For wigs, for children that have, you know.
They make wigs. Locks for Love?
Locks for Love, that's it.
Yeah. Locks for Love.
My niece does it too.
Yeah, they had two of them, and then two of their friends did it together. So they had four of them.
That's really sweet.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's a great.
East Gloucester's got a great a great group of kids. What a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Every place else sucks in town, but East Gloucester.
It's a club, not a gang.
It's a club. Yeah. It's all these commies that moved in from out of town. It's a joke. Trust me. Every time I say the word commie, Pinko commie on the blog, the people come out rabid. Rabid.
The number of times I've been called that.
Just rolls off your back now.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Can I add something? I want to circle back to the project. I wanted to say something before the end of it.
Sure.
I really, really want women in this project because so many women served the country, served.
Mm-hmm. Rosie the Riveter.
Mm-hmm. All of those women did something, and oftentimes they're overshadowed, they're overlooked, they don't think their contributions mattered, and they're just as important in this project as the
women. Women ran the country. They worked.
They did. They flew airplanes.
They
let the broads fly airplanes back then.
You just lost half your membership.
It's a joke. Please, if you're this obnoxious, you know it's a joke, right?
We just found out the other night. One of the girls, middle school teachers, Miss Dan, her mother was a code breaker.
Wow.
She was
nurses.
She's still alive. That lives down in Washington.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, could you imagine all that? Jobs here.
Can you imagine? Like, if I can't.
Baseball. I think life.
Like, Jason, I kind of want to make sure this last part. Jason, where can people contact you if they have a relative, or where do you want to spend?
Email is jason@jasongrow, jasongrow.com. My phone number is 978-884-7964. Call me up.
There you go.
Email anytime.
All right. We will make that. We will put those in the show notes. Please, if you know anyone, relatives, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, at this point, probably great-grandfathers.
Even people who have memories of their parents, grandparents.
If they have photos?
I'm sticking with the living people because we would get into thousands of people to do, I really want the folks who are still with us right now to
capture that.
Yeah.
Preserve that.
If you saw like the on the blog yesterday, my guess is the photos are going to be the same size and presented in a way that, like, uniform,
right?
Nice black and white.
Yeah,
really.
This is
detailed.
About the faces. And if they have memorabilia, if they have something from their uniforms or something from that day, medals, ribbons, whatever, you know, those things. Just a small thing. This doesn't have to be a huge flag waving thing. It's about the people themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Jason, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of fun, guys. We had a lot of fun today. Oh, Jesus. Well, hold on. I'm backing up. Back up the bus. Boop, 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 boop. Go ahead, Toby. I didn't I ask if anybody had anything?
No, you didn't.
All right.
Yes, he did.
I did.
You
go ahead.
Way at the beginning? Yes. Subjects? Anyway. No, let's not belabor. Two subjects, okay? Alicia's post regarding, which there were a lot of comments on, regarding if you saw a car going down.
Oh,
and
that was
do you
post, yeah.
Right? Do you rat out the kid?
Oh, sorry. So explain it. So if you're driving, you know the child. There's a teenager in the car driving like an asshole. Do you say the point that she was trying to make was, do you contact that person? How do you handle the situation? Do you contact the person, the parents? Do you contact the kids? How would you handle it?
Right. Well, I just sent her some information. Whether or not she posted, I don't know. But it's interesting and coincidental that Chevy Malibu for next year has a computer in it that records all of those mm-hmm. things, how the operator, the speeds attended, all mm-hmm. those, so that if you're a parent and you loan your car to your kid, there's no way the kid can say, oh, I wasn't speeding.
Oh.
It just mm-hmm. I thought that that was
they
interesting.
An external thing that you put in any car.
Timely.
I would buy that.
And the answer is yes.
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 You absolutely.
Guess what?
Yes, you
contact the parents?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that if the child, you know them very well, like we had an episode once with one of the kids in Burlington, and I gave the child a pass because I went right nose to nose with the kid about doing something like that.
Literally.
I was like,
no, actually, he was 6 feet tall. He was not. He
had to stand on a crate.
He was afraid of me because he knew that I was going to tell his mother, and it wasn't going to be pretty. And he never did it again. And when the day he got married, he said, "You never squealed on me, did you?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And he goes, "And I never did it again because you scared the hell out of me that day." So I think if you know the child well and you know that, but if you, he did it again, his mother, his father, his grandmother.
Yeah, but you just don't not say something.
Oh, you have to say something.
Dead is dead.
Right.
And I know what I drove like at 16.
Yep.
And if I found a kid I knew driving like I drove at 16, there would be some serious words.
Well, as I said, it's just interesting that coincidentally, Chevy, the new model for next year,
just came out right after her post.
Right after her post, I happened to see some information.
Did you comment on that post with the link to that article?
I did not. I sent it to her to let her handle it however she wanted.
Okay. But I'd rather be wrong than get wrong any day.
I would put the comment in there. So what you said you had two doctors.
Yeah, the other thing is an individual who was born in Hamilton, has lived in Essex for the last 25 years. He's having his artwork displayed at the first Ipswich Bank in Gloucester, the Gloucester branch.
Friend
of the blog.
Jim Clyde.
Jim gave me a couple really nice prints of his.
Of Hog Island.
So you may give them as.
Are those going to be the next prizes? Is that what we talked about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Thank you, Toby, for bringing that up. I appreciate it. We did speak about that. We were going to talk about this, by the way. You are right. The Jim Clyde, we have how many prints are we giving away?
Two.
Two prints. So two of the first 10 subscribers to the Gloucester Cast this coming week, starting today, will
this Hog Island print
can will are eligible to. We'll be picking them randomly of Jim Clyde's Hog Island print, and you need to pick them up here at the dock, 95 East Main Street. You have 2 weeks to pick them up, or organize someone else to pick them up for you, or they're gonna go back into the prize pile. There you go. Thanks, everybody. We had a great podcast today.
Thank you. Have a good day.